to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad to have you with us. And we're going to be turning today in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we appreciate you being with us by radio. And our subject today has to do with the kingdom of God, and that is inheriting the kingdom. These are some smaller, shorter sermons based upon some sermons that we have preached in our church, and we've condensed them a little bit to be able to put on radio. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11 to begin our study here today. The Lord tells us here in this passage, He said, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Father, we do ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word today. And we just pray, Lord, that the saints of God would be edified. We pray, Lord, that the sinner, the unsaved, would be convicted of their sins and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Again, it's our privilege to be able to preach by radio. And we're going to title the message, Inheriting the Kingdom. Again, these are some condensed messages that we have preached in our church recently. And so we want to consider the subject of inheriting the kingdom. But first of all, let me tell you that we have other resources, many sermons, hundreds of sermons and articles that are available on two different websites. One of those is biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. And then you can find us also on sermonaudio.com. That is sermonaudio.com. If you just go there, you'll need to type in our name that will carry you to our web page if you go to sermonaudio.com. Again, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you by radio. Now, we're looking at the subject today of inheriting the kingdom. I believe that the kingdom of God is a very important subject in Holy Scripture. We know that the kingdom of God is the sphere of God's rule. We find that as we consider the kingdom today, the kingdom is heavenly, it is spiritual, and it is eternal. It is referred to by many names. It is called the Father's kingdom. It is called the Christ kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son. It is referred to as a heavenly kingdom. It is called the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. It is also referred to as the everlasting kingdom. Now, we find the kingdom of God mentioned to us throughout the Old Testament, especially in places like Psalms 145 and verse 13. It has always existed and always will. We find the present reality of that kingdom. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, we see clearly that the kingdom of God was established in the hearts of believers through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find the future aspect of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8, he speaks of the future aspect and the future glory of the kingdom of God. So as we come into the Scriptures, the kingdom of God is the central theme, and especially in the New Testament. It receives special attention in the New Testament, and there's a reason for that. In the New Testament, we find clearly the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I'm going to bring to you three thoughts today, and we'll keep these simple and keep these short. And again, if you want the longer version of these messages or articles, you can go to our website, again, biblicaltruth.info, and you can look at our resources there. First of all, let us notice from our text, let's notice, first of all, the promise of the inheritance. God has made many promises, and these promises are sure, and an inheritance is an estate or possession given to an heir. To inherit something means to take or have possession, to receive, to obtain, or to be a partaker. Now, the term inherit the kingdom, these words, inherit the kingdom, is mentioned about six times in Holy Scripture. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, he speaks of inheriting the kingdom. In Galatians 5:21, we find it. We find it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, Ephesians 5 and verse 5, and Matthew 25 and verse 34. Now, skip one, which is in our context. We actually find inheriting the kingdom twice here in our text, and that's in verse 9 and also verse 10. So, as we come here to this passage, we see that our text speaks of the kingdom of God, but it also speaks of those who enter or inherit the kingdom and those who do not. There is a warning to the sinner in our text, and there is encouragement to the saints. So if we were to look at the context of 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 8, there is a distinction made between the righteous and the unrighteous. And then in our immediate text, we see clearly the issue of inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, God's kingdom was promised throughout history, and it is the only hope for the believer to have eternal life. You would read about this in places such as in Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 14. Again, the kingdom was promised. Daniel 2 and verse 44. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 through 5, and James 2 and verse 5, we see again the promise of the kingdom. God says in Matthew 5, verse 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, speaks of the inheriting the kingdom. He says there are those who will inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Romans 8 and verse 16 and verse 17 speaks of heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, God will preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. The Apostle Paul gives this testimony. God will preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. Hebrews 1 4 speaks of those who are heirs of salvation. Hebrews 9:15 says that we might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And again, Galatians 4:7 speaks of heirs of God through Jesus Christ. So we know that we look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 13. So first of all, we see clearly in the Bible, the promise of the inheritance. Secondly, I want us to consider in our passage the people of the inheritance. Now, we're talking about the saved. We're talking about the righteous. First, in this passage, there is a list of those who will not inherit the kingdom. Notice in verse 9, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Secondly, there is a list of those who will enter the kingdom. He said in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So in our text, we have a list, first of all, of those who will not inherit the kingdom. And then we have those who will inherit the kingdom. Now, he gives us a list of sins that are not really preached on that much today. We find that in this passage, there are those who really deceive themselves, and they think that they can divorce their lifestyle from their faith. People today flatter themselves, thinking that they can live in sin and die in Christ, thinking that they can live in rebellion and then enter into the kingdom of God. But I want you to notice there is a list of sins. This is not an exhausted list, but still yet there is a list here. And in the list of sin, five of these are sexual sins. There's many sins listed, but five of them are sexual immorality. Notice he begins with fornication. In verse 9, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived, neither fornicators. In general, fornication refers to sexual activity outside of marriage between man and woman. Now, it includes more than that. And in Corinthians alone, it's mentioned again in chapter 5, chapter 7, chapter 10, and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. Well, we find that many today are committing fornication in our country. There are many young people think it's okay. There's many that are just living together. There's many today that do not realize the darkness of this sin. Jude 7 speaks of sexual sins and how dark they are and how that the judgment of God comes upon them. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 29 says clearly that sexual immorality is going to be judged by God. And so we find here that in verse 9 and 10, he says, be not deceived. There are many deceived today. You cannot divorce lifestyle or separate lifestyle from faith. Many believe that you can live in sin today and then enter into the kingdom of God. Again, he said in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. And so the fornicator will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice next, he mentions idolatry. Well, that's one who offers to others what belongs to God. You can have idols and carry them around as images, and you can also have idols in your heart, according to Ezekiel 14. And then I want you to notice that he mentions next in this passage, he mentions adulterers, that is sexual unfaithfulness to a spouse. He mentions the effeminate, that is women-like traits, unmanly. There's no clear distinction between the two. And then he mentions abuses of themselves with mankind. This has to do with sodomy. You can find this truth not only in the Old Testament, but in Romans 1, verse 26 and 27. You can find it in 1 Timothy 1, 10, Jude 7, Genesis 19:5, and many other places in the Word of God. Many call it homosexuality. In other words, the Scriptures speak of it as sodomy. He says here, abusers of themselves with mankind. We find here that this is a sin against God. It is a sin against God's word. And this is a sin by which will keep men and women who participate in this out of the kingdom of God. So we see so far the fornicator, the adulterer, the idolater, the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind, that these have no entrance into the kingdom of God unless they repent of their sins. He goes on with this list in verse 10, and now he mentions thieves. That is those who take what belongs to others. And employees steal from employers. This has to do with fraud. It has to do with many things. It has to do with shoplifting. It has to do with many areas of thievery. Well, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not only that, covetousness, longing for something that belongs to another or something you don't need. Covetousness, a very grave sin that's mentioned to us in Holy Scripture. And then he mentions drunkenness in verse 10 as well. And this would include wine, strong drink, drugs, marijuana, anything you want to put into this. It has to do with drunkenness. The drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then it speaks of revilers, that is, talebearers, backbiters, speaking lies and destroying the character and reputation of others. Then extortioners. Extortioner, someone who gains at the expense of others, the abuse of authority, somebody who is a swindler. So here's a small list. There's other lists in the Scripture. But here's a list of people who shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, is this an isolated list? Is there any other? Glad you asked, because there are many other lists. You'll find this again. You'll find a very similar list, and it says, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God, in Galatians 5, verses 19 and 21. If you want to read farther, you can find this in Ephesians 5, verses 5 and 6. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Then you can go to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8 and verse 27, we find again that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then you can read in Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 through 17, clearly the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in verses 18 and 19 of the book of Revelation chapter 22, clearly if any man adds to God's word or takes away from God's word, then he's in trouble with God. So what are we saying? Who are the people that shall inherit the kingdom of God? Well, notice with me in verse 11. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, and such were some of you. In other words, some of the Corinthians, not all of them, but some of the Corinthians obviously had been caught up in fornication, idolatry, adultery, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. Maybe some of them had been thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or extortioners. He said, verse 11, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. In other words, some of you were guilty of these sins. So what's the change? What's the change? Well, they repented of those sins. The Bible says in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. They repented of that sin. And so in verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but, now notice the contrast, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we find then that there are those who shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and there are those who shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those who shall not inherit the kingdom of God are those who are living in these sins. And they're unrepentant. And they have not put their faith in Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. If you read through passages in the Word of God, for instance, in 1 John 1, verse 5 and 6, there are those who say they know God, but they walk in darkness and not in light. God said, you're a liar. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through about 6, there are those who say that they know God, and but they will not keep His commandments. They will not desire to follow Him. Well, God says, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. You find that again in chapter 3. In James chapter 2, verses 14, verse 17, verse 19, 21, 26, tells us clearly that faith without works is dead. We're not saved by our good works. No one has ever been saved, Old or New Testament, by their good works. But the thing is, when somebody believes and they repent of their sins, they turn from their sins, they put their faith in Jesus Christ, that the Lord saves them, He puts His Spirit within them, and He gives them the ability to be able to bear fruit in their life. There'll be evidence that they are truly born again. In Matthew 7 and verse 21 says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of his Father which is in heaven? It's trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's repenting of our sins, turning from those sins and turning to God. As the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we find that they turned from their idols to serve the living and true God. And listen to me, we're saved by the grace of God. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. But that same grace that saves us teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness. So we find then that the person who truly gets saved does not habitually commit the sins that are mentioned here in verse 9 and in verse 10. So what is the passage into this inheritance? What is? We see the promise of the inheritance. We see the people who are going to get this inheritance. But what is the passage into this inheritance? Well, it's to be converted through repentance and faith. Notice again verse 11, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. So they had been guilty of the same sins, but he says here now there's a change. And he said, but you were washed. At one time, they had walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. They had rebelled against God, but now they're saved. Now, what does it mean here to be washed? Well, they are cleansed. They are regenerated or born again, Titus 3, 5. They have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They've put their faith in Christ. What does it mean to be sanctified? That means that they have been set apart to God. In chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 30, those who are sanctified are saints. They've been separated from the world and they've been set apart unto God. They've been saints. You don't have to die to become a saint. Every person that gets saved becomes a believer, a saint. 1 Peter 1, 2 and Acts 26, 18 speaks of the saints of God. So we have been washed, that is cleansed, regenerated, born again. We have been sanctified, set apart to God. And then last of all, he says here that you've been justified. Titus 3, verses 5 through 7. He says here, you've been justified, declared righteous before a holy and righteous God. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Romans 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So many of these Corinthians had become obedient to the faith, as in Acts 6, 7. They had repented of their sins, put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said you must be born again in John 3, in verse 3, in order to see the kingdom of God. But he also says in John 3, in verse 5, he said, you must be born again in order to enter into this kingdom. You must be born of the Spirit, born again, born from above. That is to be regenerated, to be changed, to be saved, to be converted. Whatever word that you would want to use, we see clearly that he's showing here those who will inherit the kingdom and those who will not. Those who participate in these sins and continue in these sins and have an unrepentive heart, they will not inherit the kingdom of God, plain and clear, here in 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and in the book of Revelation, as well as many other places. So what I want to leave you with today is that salvation is a free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, He has promised that He will save us. We can be born again and we can enter into God's kingdom. Verse 11 again, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He died for sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 clearly tells us that He died for our sins, to save us from our sins, that we will not end up in hell. Well, we find a contrast here then between the unrighteous and the righteous, the lost and the saved. And we see the characteristics of those who are unrighteous. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then He gives you a list of their sins. And then He mentions those who are saved, the righteous. And He says that they are washed and they are sanctified and that they are justified. They are set apart unto the Lord. They have been cleansed. They have been declared righteous. And I ask you today, will you repent of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And God has promised in His holy word that He will save you. If you refuse to do that, you'll end up in a devil's hell. I beg of you today to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Receive Him. God will save you through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the gospel that is given to us, the good news in the Word of God. If you are saved and you are a believer, rejoice in these things that you have been washed and sanctified and justified. If you're not a believer, may this be the day that you bow your head and confess your sins before God and trust Him as your Savior and receive Him, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 13. He says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've heard the Word of God today. Trust the Lord. Call upon Him and be saved today. And if you do trust Him, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've enjoyed this broadcast, we'd love to hear from you as well. Again, our time has come and gone. We want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach by radio. And we just pray that you'll trust the Lord today in His name. Amen.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrass Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrass Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.